Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very, very warm welcome, and especially to our friends from across the circuit. So many smiles, so many hugs. A lovely start to our service. A big thank you to Zoe and Steve. We've got musicians today. We're very grateful to you. Thank you. We have sad news. We're very sorry to announce the sudden death of Janet Roger. Janet was the wife of Mark Roger, who you probably know as the jazz player from Manchester Jazz. Janet's funeral will be here on the 30th of May at 11 a.m. We send our love to her family and to her friends. Just to say, please join us for tea and coffee after the service. We've put plenty of tables in rooms 1 and 2 in the foyer, and or bring your drinks back into church. And we'd love you to stay. And over to Reverend Graham. Thank you.
You. Good morning, everyone. And again, welcome to worship in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good to see you this morning, good to gather together as the circuit in this place to worship God together. You'll have noticed from the things revolving on the screen that the Easter offering service is this afternoon at 4:30. This saves me telling lots of people at once. If you think, where am I? I'm in Nottingham. So I'm afraid I'm not able to be with you this evening. But that would be a good service, a chance to come and worship again at Macclesfield at 4:30 today. Today we come to worship God. We come to reflect on the scriptures. We come to listen for God's voice together. And we come to respond in faith to God. You'll have also noticed Christian Aid envelopes, hopefully on the seats. Please do give as you're able to, as we remember the world in which we live, and what God calls us to be, to do, to think, to say in that world. For now, let's take a moment of quiet then, as we come together to worship God. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is our God, the one who loves us and gave himself for us, who gathers us together in this place and bids us seek his face. So come, let us worship God. We sing together, to God be the glory. Great things he has done.
Thank you.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and most wonderful God, unsearchable and inexhaustible, greater than we can ever imagine, higher than our highest thoughts, enthroned in glory and splendor. Yet coming among us in grace and hope and love. We come to offer you our worship, to bring you our praise, to make our confession, recognizing that your ways are not our ways, that your thoughts are not our thoughts. Forgive us for the times when our pride and arrogance has misled us, when we've been full of our own importance, preferring our way to yours, the times we imagine we know all there is to know about you, when we trust in our own wisdom instead of your guidance. Forgive us when we have narrow vision and closed minds, when we close our heart to anything that challenges us. We lose sight of your greatness and your goodness. We fail to listen to your voice or the voice of others. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. But you are good. You are our God. The one who searches for us and knows us. The one who loves us and guides us and shapes us and heals us. You are the God who offers us your presence in all things. You are the one who offers us grace and hope in a changing world. Almighty and most wonderful God, hear our confession. Set us on the right path. Set us on our feet again to walk as your disciples. We offer ourselves to you in the quiet. Hear then the word of grace, spoken to each and to all. Christ says, "Your sins are forgiven." Thanks be to God. Almighty, wonderful God, remind us that you always have more to say, more to reveal, and more to do. And so open our eyes and minds and hearts to who you are, and remind us our ways are not your ways. But you call us to walk as your disciples in this world, and in the life of the world to come in our time. So as we meet and worship, fill us with your awe and wonder, with joy and thanksgiving at your grace. Fill us with praise and worship, now and forevermore. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We turn now to Scripture and to hear two readings for this morning. First, we're going to hear from the Acts of the Apostles, and then we'll hear from the Gospel according to John.
Acts 8:26-40, Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Amen.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe me. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Thank you very much to those who've read for us. I'll just wait till David turns me on. Thank you. Some of you will know, I hope, that until a week last Saturday, I was in Ghana for 10 days as part of a trip with Cliff College and the Methodist Church in Britain. Let me be clear, this was not a holiday. I've never been on a holiday where you have to get up at 7 o'clock, no, half 6 in the morning for breakfast at 7, every day. When they talk about getting up for breakfast at 8 o'clock as a lie-in. Have you ever heard anything so ridiculous? I'll go off on a tangent if I go down that way. This was a trip between the Methodist Church in Britain and Cliff College and the students that I've been working with, and we were doing lots of different things. The stole, which isn't quite a stole that I'm wearing because it's not quite long enough, those of you who know how these things work, it's not quite long enough. This was a gift from the Bishop of the Diocese of Tamale in the north, and so it felt appropriate to wear this morning despite it not being quite long enough. The cross that I'm wearing, I wouldn't normally wear. This was a gift from the church in which I preached a fortnight ago in Sidu. And so I thought I would wear that as I come to share with you. I want to share some reflections about that trip, and I will do as I preach in a moment or two. What the overriding thing about worship in that place is one word: joy. Any of you who have ever worshipped in Africa, in Ghana, you will know the joy of worship. Nobody is embarrassed about singing or dancing or raising hands. In fact, you have to dance. At one point, we were leading, and the bishop said, "Come, we dance," and took us all down to dance. You dance. You dance in response to the grace and the goodness of God. And there is no self-consciousness because everybody is dancing, and it is about joy. When it comes to the offering, do you know how this works? You don't get a plate taken to you sat in the pews. There is a box here, and you dance your way to it joyfully and bring your gift. Everyone, those who are leading worship, those who are in the congregation, the musicians, everyone dances joyfully to bring their gift. Joy. It's not, "Oh, here comes the plate. Have I got a couple of quid?" It is, "Let me give whatever I have, whatever I can bring. Let me bring it joyfully before God." We do joy slightly differently, I think, in Britain. There is something wonderful about that understanding of God's grace that is so overflowing that all you can do is praise and worship. And people talk freely about God. There's no embarrassment about talking about God. There are trucks that are plastered with quotes from the Bible because people are not afraid of it, to proclaim God's goodness and God's grace. All of that is a bit of a lead to our next song. Some of you will know, some of you may not. It is in Singing the Faith, but it is a newer song, "The Splendor of the King." How great is our God. We're going to sing this. If you don't know it, it's not hard. If you do know it, sing it, forgive me, with joy. How great is our God. Let's sing together.
Glory, majesty.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was once a minister who was looking round their new church, and the circuit stewards were showing them around as they do. This is the worship area, this is the hall, these are the offices, all that. And they did the things you have to do. Those of you who have done those visits, oh, isn't that lovely? Oh, what a wonderful space, all of that. And then they finished the visit and came out of the church, and the minister looked up into the wall and saw this branch growing out of the wall. Quite a substantial branch, and said to the steward, oh, goodness me, that doesn't look too good, does it? No, said the steward, it doesn't. But don't worry, come spring, it'll look lovely. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for? For spring to come? For transformation, to bring transformation to our world, to our church, to that metaphorical spring which brings transformation to everything? Oh, it doesn't look too good right now. No, it doesn't. But don't worry, it'll all come good in the end when that wonderful spring comes. What are we waiting for? The post-Easter season has some waiting. You know the disciples are told to wait in Jerusalem for Pentecost, wait for the gift of the Spirit, but then they're told, now, go. Get on with it. Get on with your work. Get on with your mission. Fulfill your calling. Proclaim the good news. Live the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world. The post-Easter season doesn't call us to wait forever, to just hope for transformation. It calls us to respond to God, to carry the message of a risen Lord to all the world. I have just spent 10 days, as I said, with the Methodist Church of Ghana, visiting various places, the Methodist offices in Accra, which is a 16-story tower block, churches and communities in Cape Coast and Elmina, the northern town of Tamale, the village of Naloni, the Trinity Theological Seminary in Accra, and lots of other places in between. This is a church of just under 1 million members. That's more than five times the size of the Methodist Church of Great Britain. Just let that sink in for a moment. And there are countless thousands more who are involved in the church. Young people. And by young, I don't mean like my age, because I'm old. I mean proper young people. It's not a church of enormous wealth or comfort. It is a church focused on the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. Days start early. There is very little waiting. Days start about 6 o'clock in the morning. Unless you're training for ministry, and then it starts at 3 a.m. because you need to do your reading before you get to classes. There's not a lot of waiting. The life of the church is about responding to the gracious call of God here and now. So I wonder, what are we waiting for? In our church? In our lives? What gets in the way of us responding to God's call on us here and now? The reading that we heard a few moments ago from the Acts of the Apostles is not the lectionary reading for today. But it's the reading I felt was what I wanted us to hear and what God was saying. It is one of the stories that comes in that post-Easter period of the scriptures and after Pentecost. Philip is one of the seven who were appointed by the apostles in Acts 6 to distribute food and charitable aid to the poorer members of the community. They become deacons, and Stephen becomes an archdeacon at that point, servants of God. The encounter with the Ethiopian comes after Stephen had been seized and stoned to death, and Philip had travelled to Samaria, to Gentile territory, remember that? He goes there, he performs miracles through God, He heals people, he preaches. Simon the sorcerer comes to faith in God and is baptized, and then Philip's told to move on, to travel, to take the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. He's going away from Jerusalem, away from the place that he knew, away from the center of the faith as they knew it, away from the place of the crucifixion and resurrection, into the world. Why? Because the angel of the Lord and later the Spirit of God had said, there is work for you to do. And so he meets the Ethiopian eunuch on the road. In those days, the eunuchs were excluded from participation in temple rituals. They were excluded from full admittance into Israel's community. So for this eunuch, he is ritually and religiously considered far away from God. He's not named in the story, because actually I think this story is mostly about Philip. About Philip responding to the call of God, to God's grace reaching beyond the bounds of Jerusalem and Judaism itself. If he'd been named this Ethiopian, perhaps we would miss the significance of where he's come from, his ethnicity, his social ranking. He represents all those who to this point have been geographically and ethically considered far away from God. But God is now doing something new. God calls this man to know his grace, to hear the gospel, and to respond. I kind of imagine Philip must be tired at this point. It's not been an easy few months or weeks. He's fled Jerusalem after what happened to Stephen, maybe just with the shirt on his back. And this Ethiopian is an educated man. He's reading the scriptures. Philip might think, oh, I don't know if I've got time or energy for all this. But he hears the call and he responds to God. He runs up to the chariot. It must have been going relatively slowly, I guess. But he runs to the chariot and he asks this Ethiopian, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, says the Ethiopian, unless somebody tells me. He climbs on board and they study together. God moves in that moment and the Ethiopian eventually says, amazing. Look, here is water. What's to stop me from being baptized at this point? Here is water. Here, outside Jerusalem, on the road away into the world, a man who until this moment has been excluded from the community of faith is given grace. Because Philip responds to God's call, proclaims the good news, there is no waiting, there is nothing standing in the way, and the life-giving, transforming power of God is known in that moment. What are we waiting for? What stands in the way of us responding to God as God calls us to mission and evangelism and transformation? What's in the way for us? Well, this morning, let me offer you three reflections from the time we spent in Ghana a couple of weeks ago. What stands in the way? Well, firstly, sometimes it is the church. I don't like to be wrong. I'm not very good at admitting that I'm wrong, so I find creative ways to say, well, that's what I thought, really. I'm not sure anybody really likes being wrong. But there are moments when I am. And that's true for the church as well. The church that we are part of and the church globally. There are times when we miss what God is saying, when we're so wrapped up in our wants and our needs, in our beliefs, that we don't realize that we are working against God, that we've ignored God or silenced God, that we've relegated God to someone who agrees with us, not the one who leads and guides, not the one who inspires and transforms, not the one who calls us to a life that is both challenging and energizing. Sometimes the church gets in the way. As part of our visit to Ghana in Cape Coast, we went to slave castles, Cape Coast and Elmina. These are bright white forts that stand out along the coastline. They dominate that part. We visited the dungeons where men and women were kept in unimaginable conditions. Oops. Darkness and filth and horror. For 3 months at least, there were 1,000 in that space, you can see. 1,000 men who were then shipped off to foreign countries, left everything they know, their family, their loved ones, their lives, left everything and torn into another place. Standing in these dungeons is one of the most horrendous things, nauseating almost. But that's not the whole story. The orange arrow is the entrance to the slave dungeon. Does anyone know what the purple arrow is? The first Anglican chapel in Ghana. Above the dungeon of slaves. One of the first Christian places of worship in that country. Below God's children, those who are loved by God, those for whom Jesus died and rose again, are in chains, in unimaginable suffering, while above, in the beautiful sunlight, people have built a chapel to worship the God of love. Sometimes the church gets it wrong. Sometimes the church gets in the way of the gospel. Sometimes we lose our way. Sometimes we are not what God longs for us to be. As we find our place in God's church, we need to ask, what is God saying to us here and now? Where is God challenging us now, today? Are the times when we deny the value of human beings because of their faith or their gender or their sexuality, because they seem to be woke, because they're a migrant or immigrant or employed or receiving benefits or whatever else it is? Are there those times for us? Because if we do, no, when we do, we need another encounter with the living Christ who calls us to a new way of being. The one who is radically inclusive and loving, even when that love and inclusion is beyond our imagination. See, here is water, says the eunuch. What's to prevent me from being baptized? Nothing, say he and Philip, and the baptism is done. Nothing gets in the way of God's grace in that moment. What gets in the way for us? Sometimes it is the church. And sometimes it's the servant. Philip, I think, could have said quite happily, "Oh, I'm not baptizing you there. I'm better than that. It doesn't look very clean, that water. I'm not going in there. I haven't got my worship book with me. I can't possibly do a baptism. I can't do this without preparation. I need a temple or a synagogue. I can't just baptize at the side of the road." But he doesn't. They go down in the water and the eunuch receives this gift of baptism. The gift that says we belong to God. The gift that reminds us we are precious in God's sight. The gift that says we are part of the family of God's people. There are times when we miss opportunities to serve God because we don't want to. Because we think we've done our part. Because we think other people should. Because, well, it's not really my thing, all that. I don't really like it. Because. God calls us. God calls you. God calls me to be people of the gospel. The early church, you remember, was called the Way. A distinct group about a new way of life, holding out God's word and God's love for all people. And in the last couple of days, you'll have heard the new Pope Leo reminding the church that its call is to bring light to the world's dark nights. Sometimes we miss it. We don't think we can do it. We don't think we are quite good enough. The last time I preached was a fortnight ago in a town called Seedu. This is Ebenezer Methodist Church. And we were split up from the group of 16 to sort of twos and threes to random churches. This is Ebenezer Methodist Church in Seedu. And I went there to preach with Jenny and with Jacob. They would share testimony and I would preach. Those who've worshipped in this kind of place will know what it's like. Loud and noisy, full of praise and worship, full of dancing, full of people arriving a bit late. So that's about 10 minutes in. The church is much fuller by the time we start preaching. A wonderful place. Full of worship, full of delight at being in the presence of God, at pleasure in bringing their offerings to God, dancing and singing and praising. And Jenny and Jacob and I all thought, what are we doing here? What do we have to offer these faithful people? But God is good. Jacob and Jenny both share testimony. I've stopped working. Let's go on to the next. Can you go on to the next slide? Thank you. Jacob and Jenny shared testimony. I preached. This is the next slide. On the picture on that you can just about see my arm. Apparently that means I'm in full flow at that point. And the other picture is the superintendent minister, Reverend Christina, and I at the end, after they'd given me the gift of this cross. We thought, what are we doing here? And then we realised God was there and God was at work in us by his grace. I left with that cross, but more importantly with a message from God who says, go where I send you. Don't get in the way of the gospel because I am with you and I'm already there anyway. We need to hear that call again, to respond to God again, to hear that call, to find our place, to not get in the way of the gospel, to stop saying it's not my job or I can't do it, I don't want to do it or it's not for me, to listen to God who in his grace calls us. Preaching, worship leading, service, stewarding, caring, leading, praying, cleaning, loving. Whatever God calls us to do and to be, respond to that call. See, here is water, says the eunuch. What's to prevent me from being baptized? Nothing. Nothing gets in the way of God's grace in that moment. What gets in the way for us? Sometimes it's the church. Sometimes it's the servant. Sometimes it's the moment. Philip could have said, I'm really sorry, but this isn't the moment for a baptism. We need to wait till everything is in place. I need a proper building. I need the 12 disciples to be here to make sure I do it right. Let's wait until everything is right and then we'll do this thing. He doesn't get in the way. They go down to the water and a life is transformed. Because this is God's moment. The truth of the mission that we are called to is that it is not about us. It's not about our likes and our dislikes. It's not about waiting until we think the time is right. It's about responding to the transforming, life-giving grace of God, about knowing the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and trusting in God's time. I'm working again. When we were in the north of Ghana, in Tamale, we went to a vocational training centre, which is run by the Methodist Church for young women. And they go there, they learn how to sew, how to make fabric, which actually this is where this fabric came from that group. They made this. They learn how to cook. They learn how to do hairdressing, all those things. Wonderful. So that when they leave, they have a trade. When they leave, for instance, with sewing, the church gives them a sewing machine, gives them cloth, and says, go and start your business. It equips them for ministry. It equips them for whatever God is calling them to and gives them a way to support themselves. Inside the building, there are dormitories. The girls will stay there for 3 years. The first year, I'm told, they learn everything, a bit of hairdressing, a bit of cooking, a bit of sewing. The second and third years, they specialise in their particular thing. It's a three-story building. So the bottom story has classrooms. The second story so far has places to sleep. The third floor, well, that's not finished yet. It's not painted, there are no windows, there's nothing in it, it's just breeze blocks. The church heard the call from God and got on with it. As soon as they were able to do the thing God was calling them to do, they got on with it. They didn't wait. They said, the rest of the building will come when the time is right, but God calls us to this here and now. And it was perfect for what they needed because this was God's moment. This was what God was calling them to there and then in Tamale. We need sometimes to stop waiting for everything to be perfect. To stop waiting for that elusive moment when everything seems to be right and respond to God here and now. To stop waiting. Stop allowing things to get in the way and distract us so that we can live the gospel. So that we can proclaim here and now, today, in this world, the grace of God. So we can be part of God's mission. In Poynton, in Broken Cross, in Langley, in Gawsworth, in Prestbury, in Macclesfield, in all the bits in between too. Let us be disciples. Let us be a church who look and listen for God's time and respond in faith and hope and love. See, here is water, says the eunuch. What is to prevent me from being baptized? Nothing gets in the way of God's grace in that moment. What about us? Well, sometimes it's waiting for that perfect moment. Here outside Jerusalem on a road into the world, Philip responds to God's call, proclaims the good news. There is no waiting. There is nothing standing in the way. And a man who until this moment had been excluded knows the life-giving, transforming power of God. What are we waiting for? What stands in the way of us responding to God? Sometimes it's the church. So let us hear God's call to be a community of real love for all people. Sometimes it is the servant. So let us open ourselves to God's power and respond to his call. Sometimes it's the moment. So let us trust in God, in God's time. And let nothing get in the way. See, here is water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? What are we waiting for? Let nothing get in the way of the gospel. And let us be people of that kind of grace and love in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing our next hymn, Hear the Call of the Kingdom. So let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you gave of yourself without counting the cost, offering even your own life for the life of the world. So now we pray for all who seek to love you in return, however hesitant, partial, or imperfect that love may be. Inspire them, we pray. We pray for those new in their faith, still learning more of you, still discovering what it means to be your disciples, still learning more of your love. We pray for those established in faith, facing the risk of growing complacent, of being settled into a comfortable routine. Make their love ever fresh, we pray. We pray for those whose faith has crumbled, those who can no longer trust the way they did, who no longer feel you close to them, who no longer seek to follow Christ. Renew their love, we pray. We pray for those who have never had faith, those unmoved by the challenge of the gospel, or those who resist its challenge despite themselves. Those who go against your will, willfully and knowingly. Kindle a love for you in their hearts. We pray for all those whose faith is costly, those who sacrifice time and money and energy and security and health and even life itself for the service of others. Reward their love with your grace beyond their imagination. Gracious God, we hold our world. We pray that it will be a place where love is known, where grace is practiced, where peace is the gift we enjoy together. We pray for all those places of war and violence. We pray for the aggressors and the victims. We pray for those who live in fear, who long for safety. May your love inspire us to be people of peace as we hold out the gospel of life in all the world. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, we bring ourselves. We bring our needs today and the needs of those who are known to us. We offer them to you. Lord Jesus Christ, your love is for all, whoever they may be. So may that love reach out into every heart, in every place, and may we be part of it, learning to love you as you love us, all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. In a moment, we'll sing a hymn and then we'll gather at the Lord's table. And before we do that, we're going to share peace with one another. If you're able to, would you stand? God is love, And those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you,
and also with you.
In whatever way you're comfortable and those around you are comfortable, please share the peace of God. Are you done yet? Just checking. We're going to sing together, Here is bread, here is wine. A hymn that speaks of that transformation that comes at this table. We sing together. As we share together at the Lord's table, please stand or sit as you're more comfortable this morning. When we come to receive, actually I haven't checked this, is how I'm assuming it's going to happen. I will serve bread in the middle. We'll be doing this by continual flow. So I will offer you the bread in the middle and then the wine. Hopefully people will serve you either sides. And you'll be guided, I hope, as to... You know how this works. Find your way. Be fine. We come to God's table. Let's take a moment of quiet as we meet at this holy place. We meet in the name of our Creator God, with whom it all started, from whom all things come, without whom nothing was given life. We meet in the name of our saving God, who came to us as one of us, who was the Word made flesh, who celebrated life, showing us the way. We meet in the name of the Spirit of God, the one who was there from the beginning, the one who gives life to all, the one who is with us still. We say together, we meet in the name of the God of love, hope and life, hope for all, and life everlasting. Let us pray. God of all things, hear our prayer. Creator God, forgive us for the times when we have misused your creation. Our moments of apathy, carelessness, and disregard. Gracious God, in your mercy, forgive us and bring heaven to the ordinary. Christ the Redeemer, we belong to a people who are full and satisfied, but often ignore the cry of the hungry and broken. Loving Saviour, in your mercy, forgive us and bring heaven to the ordinary. Spirit of truth, we are appalled at the global suffering we see on our televisions. Yet often we are blind to the injustices on our streets. Spirit of God, in your mercy, forgive us and bring heaven to the ordinary. Trinity of love, we long for a community of welcome. Forgive our attitude of suspicion towards a stranger. Trinity of inclusion, in your mercy, forgive us and bring heaven to the ordinary. May our merciful God forgive us and bring us the eternal joy of the kingdom. Amen. Welcome. Welcome to this meal. A meal where humanity meets God, where heaven becomes ordinary. This is a meal of encounter. An encounter with Christ, an encounter with one another, an encounter with all humanity. At this meal, the servant becomes the host. The host welcomes all, the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the broken and the vulnerable. At this table, all are equal. All are guests of God in this heavenly banquet. So come and receive. Come you with little faith, come you with great faith. Come with a desire for deeper faith. Come. And receive heaven, heaven in the bread and wine, heaven in the ordinary. God, our Creator, the source of all, bringing life and vitality, loving, caring, and giving. God, our Saviour, who lived with us, shared our joy and suffering, and sits at the table with us. God, the Spirit of life, inspiring, challenging, and sustaining us. We thank you. We thank you, God, three in one. In your compassion and mercy, you chose to live among us, a friend, a brother, a teacher, an asylum seeker, a prisoner, speaking for those who have no voice, shouting against injustice, modelling for us community, teaching us to love one another, serve one another, forgive one another. Sentenced to death and punished on a cross of pain, experiencing suffering and shame, Christ died. He was raised from the dead, met again with his friends, transformed them and began a movement. Today he remains with us, praying for us. And so, transforming God, we thank you. We do here as generations have done before us, and thank you for this bread and this wine. In this meal, we connect with you, are transformed by you, and receive life. We remember that on the night of his rejection, knowing hatred and betrayal, Jesus took bread, said thank you, broke it, and gave it to his followers, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus held the cup, said thank you, and gave it to his followers, saying, "Take this and drink it in remembrance of me." In bread and wine, we remember the one who died for us and lives for us. And so, gracious God, we ask that by your Spirit, this bread and this wine may become for us your body and your blood. We bring ourselves, our dreams and our fears, our hopes and our disappointments,
our successes and our failures. Amen. So send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ, and unite us with him as we serve in his name. Amen. This is the table of the Lord. All are welcome here. All who love the Lord, all who seek to love the Lord more, all who the Lord loves are welcome at this table. Draw near with faith. Given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
given for you. The body of Christ 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 given for you. 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 Given for you. The body of Christ 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 given for you. Given for me. Body of Christ given for me. We pray together. We thank you, God, for allowing us to join the feast. In the ordinary, you have given us the taste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. May we rise from your table as your people,
loving and serving in the world until your kingdom comes. Amen.
We sing our closing hymn. We have a gospel to proclaim, good news for all throughout the earth. So may God bless us on this day and on every day. May God enable us to recognize heaven in the ordinary and empower us to bring heaven into the ordinary. All in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ.